from there, and hopefully that'll be a blessing to you. Hebrews chapter 11, if you will, Hebrews chapter 11, and going to be starting in verse 32 this morning, Hebrews 11 and verse 32. Joey, we good back there? Good? Amen. Got the thumbs up. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, as where we'll be starting here. Read down through verse 35. Notice the Bible says this, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into the word of God here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are. And Lord, what a privilege it is to have, Lord, your word here for us as English-speaking people. Lord, I pray that we would see this as a blessing, Lord, and as something that, Lord, we're so blessed to have a copy of your word, but Lord, also as a challenge to us to understand that, Lord, you've given us so much truth. Lord, what have we done with this truth? Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply it to our lives and help us to, Lord, be even more burdened to get the scriptures into languages, Lord, that do not have a copy of the word of God. Lord, I pray you'd be with us today, be with those of us in this room. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts and Lord, those downstairs as well with the children and Lord, also the ones on the live stream. Lord, in many different areas today, Lord, your gospel is going forth and I pray that you would work in just a mighty way. Lord, if there's anyone that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray they'd come to know you today. And Lord, work on our faith this morning. And Lord, work on my faith. Lord, I pray that you would help me this morning, Lord, just to rightly divide the word of truth. And Lord, as you've worked in my heart through this passage, Lord, I pray that you would help me, dear God, to say only what you would have me to say, Lord, to these people this morning. And Lord, I do thank you for their faithfulness. And Lord, help each and every one of us in all the struggles that we go through. And the Lord, just touch us in the way that your will sees fit. And we ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in this life that we live, there are many things that are tested and tried. And as we go through life, you're going to be using different things. And no doubt those things went through what we would consider quality control or some sort of testing, some sort of checks and balances, if you will. These things happen all the time. There is nothing that you can buy from a supermarket or something like that has not been tested in some way. There's tests that everything goes through. There are different tests that cars go through. There's tests that little gadgets go through and all of that. All sorts of data and analytics that can be traced for reviewing performance of certain things. Everything from gas pumps at the station to America's defense system, everything has checks and balances. Growing up, we had the opportunity to buy out household estates and we dealt a lot with furniture and those things. We bought this one estate this time where this guy, his career throughout his whole life was the one that would go to gas stations and he would check the balance of the fuel and all of those things and check if there was water in the fuel. He had all these gauges that he would check. And what he was doing is he was checking to see if what was supposed to be really was, or if there was something that was off in that fuel. And there were all these different kinds of gauges and things that no doubt only he knew how to read. When I was looking at these things, I didn't know how to read those, but I knew what they were for. Now, those things are not just there to fill time. Well, we have to say that we're checking these things. No, they're checking to see what the weakness is in everything and then also what the strength is as well. Well, as we've gone through this chapter in the book of Hebrews, what have we learned a lot about? We've learned about faith. We've learned about how people have put their faith into practice and how people have gone through different things and proven themselves to be faithful. Yes, they had failures. Yes, there were struggles and all of those things. But we find here in Hebrews chapter 11, we find that by faith, the Lord worked through these people. And by faith, they were trusting in the Lord. Everything that we deal with today, there is programming and different designs and all of those things to ensure that it comes to the right outcome. We understand that. Many times when we are on a long trip in the car, the button that I hit the most is that reset for the average miles per gallon. I love seeing that number because as soon as you hit it, especially if you're going downhill, it'll only go up to 99 miles per gallon. It's all it'll go up to. If you're going downhill and you hit that, it'll say 99 miles per gallon. As soon as you get to the bottom, then it drops down to, 15 or something like that, and you go into a state of depression at that point, amen. But I love hitting that button. I love seeing what the car is doing and all of those. What is that thing? It's a test. It is a gauge of how the car is doing in the way in which it was designed. It's a test, a gauge. But why is it that when it comes to everything temporal speaking, we're okay with things having a gauge. But when it comes to our faith, many times we don't want that put to the test. Because we understand that if we were honest with ourselves and honest before God when it comes to our faith, especially put up against what we're going to read about today, many of us are not doing as well with our faith as we should be. And all of us have areas in which we can work on. So this morning, we're going to put our faith to the test. I'd like to preach to you a message this morning, and it is part one of a two-part message this morning. And I want us to understand this morning, and I've entitled it this, The Performance Review of Our Faith, number one. The Performance Review. Now, anyone that is ever had a job of some sort for any amount of time, maybe in your career or something like that, you understand what a performance review is. Oftentimes when I worked for Chick-fil-A and I was in upper management there, I was over the back of house, so over the kitchen and ones like that, and I had to do annual performance reviews. What was I doing? I was letting these people know that based on how long you've been here, this is what you should be completing. This is where you should be, and this is some jobs you should be able to do. And I'm doing all of that based on how long they've been there, how long they've been employed with Chick-fil-A. We understand the idea behind a performance review. We understand that when someone is employed at a place, they should be continually getting better at their job, improving at what they're doing, getting better at their trade. We understand that. Well, the same thing should be true with our faith. Our faith should be stronger today than it was when we first got saved. Our faith should be stronger today than it was yesterday. But when it comes to our faith, if we were to put our faith into a performance review based on what we're reading this morning, how would we fare in that review? You know, I had some ones that I put through a performance review there at Chick-fil-A, and some of them did wonderful in their performance review. I said, these are some things that you're doing great, and continue on in those things. There's always small things to work on and all of that, keep people moving towards a certain goal. But there were other ones that their performance review was not the greatest. And they had to make a decision. They were either going to get upset because what they would say is, well, those stipulations are just too hard to follow. And they could choose to leave at that point, and that was fine. That was their prerogative. But then there were other ones, the ones that stick out in my mind, that realized this is what I need to work on. This is an area in which I'm slacking. This is an area in which I'm failing. If I fix this area, then my performance review will be better. Now understand, when we talk about our faith, we are to be dependent on the Lord and Savior. We are to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. But understand, we must put some things in action if we want our faith to be what we see here in Scripture today. It doesn't happen just by accident. So with our performance review, let's see how we would fare. So first of all, I want you to notice the candidates that are mentioned. The candidates that are mentioned. Look at verse 32. The Bible says this, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." Notice these candidates here. Here in this passage, we see seven different ones, if I counted right there, that are mentioned. Six of them are mentioned by name, and then, of course, it mentions the prophets. So these are the ones that are being put to the test. These are the ones who we are looking at in this verse here speaking. Now, there's going to be some other ones that we discuss here in just a little while, and we'll mention their names. But you have these names. They are being put to the test. As we go through this performance review today, we're going to be reading about their performance review, but we're the ones being put to the test today. I'm putting myself to this performance review. And you can put yourself as well through this review and see how we're doing. Every one of these people that are mentioned here, whether it's from Gideon all the way to David, we read of Samson and Jephthah and Barak and Samuel and these different ones here and of the prophets, every one of them were human beings just like you and I. None of them were some super spiritual person that didn't have to worry about sin or didn't have their faith tried or anything like that. No, their faith was tried over and over and over again. And yet, as we read about them, we read of some failures. Yes, we read of some trials and some things that were placed in their way and some tests that they were put through, but they were found faithful. They remained faithful. These were men who were living on the same earth that you and I live on. And they're mentioned here and they are commended for their faith. Notice the penman here. After he has mentioned so many people who were faithful to the Lord and were recognized for their faith, they're in the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11. Notice the very beginning of Hebrews 11:32. "And what shall I more say?" Here's what he's saying. I've told you about so many people that have lived the life of faith. I've told you there's so many different ones that though they were going through trials and tribulations and all of that, they remained faithful, not because of who they were, but because of the God that they were serving. And they told themselves, "I'm going to stay true to the Lord," and they stayed true to Him. He said, "I've told you of all of these people. What more can I say?" He said, "I would run out of time telling you about all of these other ones and all the things that they went through." But what he's trying to tell them here is this. He said, "I could go on and on and on about people who were faithful." And he's encouraging these Hebrew believers, understand, to remain faithful no matter what comes their way. That's what he's encouraging them to do here. The book of Hebrews, many times, and I know in my mind, I'm sure in your mind as well, when I read of these things, and I read of these ones in the Bible, many times I think to myself that, well, they were living in a very spiritual time, a very religious time. Things were so much easier back then. Well, people were getting dipped in hot oil for trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. People were literally getting their head lopped off for trusting in Christ. People were getting thrown in prison. People were getting stoned to death simply because of their trusting in God. Does that sound easier to you? It doesn't to me. We have it easy, don't we? We have it very easy. As people living here in America, we have it so easy here. Here in the book of Hebrews, they didn't have it easy. These ones that we read of from the very beginning all the way back as we go here. We talked about Abraham. We talked about Noah. We talked about Lot and all of these different ones. They did not have it easier than we do. But they served the same God. Therefore, we can remain faithful. What he's telling these believers here, these are Jewish believers who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior, ones that have been raised in the Scriptures, ones that have been taught the Scriptures, the Old Testament, since they were born. They've been raised in that, in Judaism, and now they have looked at that and they've said, Judaism is following some law. We're going to follow Christ. And they've trusted Christ, and now they're being persecuted by their own family, their own friends, their own religious leaders. And they are being even martyred in all of these things. That's what they were going through in the book of Hebrews. And this penman here is telling them, there are so many other people that have remained faithful. Don't give up the fight. Don't allow your faith to become watered down. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on God just because someone is telling you something, just because someone is threatening you, just because someone is coming against you or making fun of you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He said, I could go on and on telling you about faithful people, and you can be one of those if you keep your eyes on Christ. That's what the penman is telling us here this morning. These ones that we see mentioned, these candidates that we are looking at in this performance review, they were found faithful. I want you to look at that name, Gideon. We could all probably say a little bit about Gideon here and some things that he was known for, but no doubt he had some times of doubt in his life. Remember when Gideon was going to go into battle, and he had all of these men, and God says, Gideon, you have too many men. Okay, well, if they're doing a certain thing, then we're going to send them home if they want to go home. And so his army is whittled down from the tens of thousands down to just thousands. And then God says, now I want you to take all of these that are doing this and send them home as well. So here's Gideon, and he's going up against an army of thousands of people with merely 300 men. You think his faith was tested? Yes. But he remained faithful. I think Gideon passed his performance review, don't you? I think he remained faithful here, and we could say that he did a wonderful work. What about King David? When we look at King David, we could say that, David, he was a man after God's own heart. He was the great psalmist of Israel. He was the one who went up before Goliath when no one else would go. That's what David did. And that would all be true. But David also committed adultery with Bathsheba. David also, to try to cover that up, had Bathsheba's husband killed, put on the front line, and said, send him up to the front line, and I want everybody else to fall back so that he would be killed, trying to cover his sin. That's the David we're reading about here today. But any time the devil tries to convince you, you can't live a life of faith because of things that you've done in your past, call that devil a liar. And let him know, I can live a life of faith because God is with me and I can do all things through Christ. Remember King David here. He committed this adultery. His life was a roller coaster of events. And many times people would say, well, look at King David. Look at this man who's a giant slayer. Look at this man who was the king there and everything that he did. Yeah, but while he was being hunted by Saul, you want to know some things that King David did? Ran for his life. And at one point, in order to try to get something that he wanted, at one point, this man that we see as a warrior so many times in our lives, or in our minds, at one point, this man went up to the enemy and acted like a madman. The Bible says that he allowed his spittle to run down his beard, acting like a madman, acting like he was just out of his mind. Wait a second, that's quite a bit different from this mighty King David, isn't it? All of these people we're reading about today, they went through trials. They made some wrong choices. But yet they could remain faithful. They could. David was faithful in the caves, and he was faithful in the palace. But David also messed up in the caves. And David also messed up in the palace. But yet he's counted as faithful because he didn't allow his sin to keep him down. He kept trusting in the Lord. He's crowned king, and time and time again, he had failure. Samson was a man who followed his own lust. He was given strength by the Lord. And through all of these different circumstances, he lost his strength. And at the end of his life, you had this man that was mighty in valor. This man that it doesn't matter what enemy came against him, he could kill them. He killed a whole army with a jawbone and all of that. He did many things for the Lord. But here he is at the end of his life because of some bad choices that he made. Here he was there as a grinding a wheat for the Philistines there. They had gouged out his eyes. He couldn't see anything. And here he was, a man of weakness. And at the end of his life, when he's standing between two pillars, he asks the Lord, "Lord, give me strength one more time." And he pulled the pillars down and the house fell and killed all of those Philistines. Why? Because he turned his eyes back to God. How are we doing with our faith? These candidates that we're talking about today, they were not perfect men, not perfect women. These ones, they had sin. They had things in their life that they were not proud of. All of these people, they were human beings born with a sinful flesh, just like you and I. So before we try to set ourselves to a different standard and try to say, well, we live in a harder time. There is no one here that's had their eyes gouged out by the Philistines. There is no one here that has been put on the front lines like Uriah was up there on the front lines getting killed for no reason. There's no one here that has been through these things that we're talking about today. So before we set ourselves to a different standard in our performance review, we need to understand this. Every one of these people that we talk about today had the same sinful flesh that you and I do. But yet they decided to serve the Lord. Notice these ones that we're talking about, where they were from. Every one of these people mentioned throughout this verse and throughout chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, for that matter, we're all dealing with the reality of striving to live for the Lord in the midst of wickedness. Look at Noah. Noah was a man who was righteous, but he was a man who lived in a wicked world. The only reason that the world was destroyed by the flood was because of the wickedness that came up before the Lord. And yet Noah was saved. Noah and his family, they were found righteous. I think too often we hold ourselves to a high standard because of this. Well, we live in a different time. The only thing different between now and then is technological advances. Other than that, we have the same sinful nature that they had. That's it. When Samuel came into the priesthood, when he became the prophet, notice the priesthood was defiled by sin. The leader before him, Eli, he had refused to discipline his sons. And his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were ones that were doing evil in the house of the Lord. And the Lord judged them for their sin. And he also judged Eli because he would not address the sin. That's who Samuel was following. Samuel did not come in and he's the prophet of Israel and everything is just all great and he's coming into this place there, everything set up for him. No, the priest before him, the prophet before him was killed by God for his sin. That's what Samuel came into. Well, you just don't understand what I've been through, preacher. I may not understand what you've been through, but God does, because these people that we're reading about today, they went through some pain. They went through some trials. They came into some unfortunate circumstances, and yet they remained faithful. Church, we cannot allow ourselves to think that just because we live in a wicked world that our faith should not be held to a high standard. I would agree, America is wicked. I would agree with that. Everywhere we look, it seems as though America is straying further and further away from God. But I refuse to believe that just because we are in 2023, just because we are in a place that we would call, it's just a lot more wicked now. I refuse to believe that just because we are in this time that those people had it easier. No, they lived in a wicked and perverse nation just like we do. And our God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And every believer would say, yes, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when it comes to our faith, we say, well, we just have it too hard. Not if we are serving the same God that they served. than we should be. Church, God's good to us. His mercy and His grace is so much more than we deserve. God, help us to think to ourselves, well, we can't live for God because of the world that we live in. No, these ones that we're reading about here today, they lived in a wicked and perverse nation just like we do. I want you to notice as well, they're humbling. These men that we read of in verse 32, they went through a humbling experience. They committed sins that were against God. They had to be humbled because of that. This man Jephthah that we read about in verse 32, he was an illegitimate child. He was an outcast, yet he did not allow that to stop him. There are many believers, some even in this room today, that have been through some terrible things, things that you're not proud of, things that you would rather no one else know. And I understand that, however, we have no right to allow ourselves to think that that somehow just because of what we've been through or because of what someone has done for us, that our faith shouldn't be held to just as high a standard as their faith was. The Bible doesn't say that we're going to give account of what someone else does to us. It says we're going to give an account of ourselves unto God. Our faith is being held to the same standard. Every one of these men that we've discussed here, they've all had trials and difficulties. They've all had battles. Every one of these people we've discussed, they are known for their faith, not because they were given assignments from the Lord, but because of their faithfulness to the Lord through that assignment. Every believer has been given an assignment from the Lord. Everyone. We are to love the Lord and keep His commandments. We are to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. All of us have an assignment from God. Are we remaining faithful to that assignment? Let's understand that every person goes through battles. Every believer is serving the same God who can get you through that battle. So first of all, in the performance review this morning, we see the candidates that are mentioned. I want us to put our name there in our mind. I'm under review, based on what Scripture says. Notice not only the candidates, notice the test they were put through. The test that they were put through. Look at verse 33 through 35, if you will. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now here in this passage, we see that there are many different tests that these people went through. We see some tests here that when we look at these things, they sound terrible, don't they? Being thrown into a den of lions. I'm not signing up for that, amen? I'm not going to say, well, I want to be the first in line to jump in that den. No, but the Lord may have us go through that. What about being thrown into a fiery furnace that's seven times hotter than what it should have been, that it's so hot it killed the men getting ready to throw the Hebrew children into it? I'm not going to say, if you're looking for a volunteer to jump in a furnace, that's what I want to do. No. I'm not wishing that that would happen, but would to God that our faith would not be so weak that we would recant our faith so that it wouldn't happen. Lord, help us. When we look at these people and we see how their faith was performing and we look at that in comparison to our faith, how are we doing? The first test, if you will, or first review I want to look at here is this, how they had a conquering faith. A conquering faith. Well, one of the tests that they were put through was whether or not they had a conquering faith. Look at verse 33. Who through faith, notice, subdued kingdoms. They subdued them. When it comes to our faith, would you say that you have the faith to subdue a kingdom? Lord, help us. That's some faith. You know what the Bible says? That the faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. That's what the Bible says. Let alone subdue a kingdom. What could be done with our faith if it was performing as it could, but not only as it could, but notice this, what could be done in our lives through the power of God for His cause if our life was performing not only as it could, but as it should? Our faith should perform in those mighty ways. If we are not seeing those mighty things happen, understand it's not because God's not able, it's because we're not allowing God to do that. We got to get out of our own way. We got to set our own selves aside. As we look at the Old Testament, we read through that, we read of over 31 different kings and kingdoms being overthrown by the people of God. Over 31. Some of them were small kingdoms and some of them were large kingdoms. But to the people of God at that time, there wasn't one kingdom that they walked up to and said, well, this is going to be a piece of cake and then just had the victory over that. No, when they walked up to a kingdom, I think of when they went to Ai, I believe it was, they said, well, we can just take part of our army. We'll defeat them, no problem. What did God do? He caused them to be defeated. Because they went without the power of God. But every single kingdom they went up to, and it doesn't matter if it was 100 people up to 20,000 people or even more, if they walked up there and God said, this is how I want you to attack, this is where I want you to be, this is the ones that I want you to kill. If they followed God's plan, He gave them the victory every single time because they had the faith to subdue kingdoms. It doesn't matter what battle we're going through, what a kingdom is coming up against us, if you will. If we have the faith that we can have and that we should have, then we will have the faith that will subdue kingdoms. We'll have that. One way or another, these kingdoms were subdued. There are many things that are enemies in our lives, and we live defeated by many of them, not because God cannot defeat them, but because we're not putting our faith to work. We get so busy looking back at the good old days when the hand of God was mightily working that too often we forget that all of that was through God's power, and He's just as powerful today as He's ever been. God forbid that we would look back years ago and say, well, God worked in a great way then. Well, I miss those times that God was working. It's good to look back and see how God worked, but not if we are neglecting the fact that God can work that way today. The same way that God worked in my grandparents' lives and great-grandparents' lives and so on and so forth, God can work that way in my life as well if I will allow my faith to be put through the test and allow God to help me. Through all of those works of God in the past, yes, there was preaching. Yes, there was revival meetings. Yes, there were works of God. Yes, there were victories. But those victories did not come because there was a week of revival services. Those weeks did not come because some powerhouse was standing behind the pulpit. Can God work through those things? Absolutely. I can remember men of God that were preaching the Bible, and God was doing a great work through that. I can remember the open air tabernacle with the sawdust floor. And when I was just a little kid, after we would get done with the hymn part of the service, I would fall asleep on the sawdust floor. Amen. I can remember waking up on the sawdust floor. I was itching quite a bit after that. Amen. But I can remember the work of God in those places at that time. It wasn't because of some open air meeting, though. It wasn't because there was some power in the sawdust floor or because some altar has some special ability to make us live for God. No, God was working during those times because the hearts of men and women were being stirred for the things of God. And they were allowing their faith to be put to the test. You see, many works of God, as you study history, many times God worked in the greatest ways when people had less than they had ever had. Why? Because they became dependent upon God. We as Americans, you know why many times we don't see God working the way that God has in the past? It's because we're too comfortable with what we have. And we think to ourselves, well, I live in America. If I want this to happen, then I'll pull myself up by my own bootstraps and I will go out there and make it happen. That's not the way that the work of God happens. These people here were able to subdue kingdoms and have these victories because they were trusting in God. Because the people of God exercised their faith in God and they were able to have a conquering faith. Notice another kind of faith they had was this, a righteous faith. A righteous faith. Well, how can somebody have faith and it not be a righteous faith? Well, look at verse 33, if you will, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Notice this, wrought righteousness. Now, when it comes to our faith, could we say that our faith has wrought righteousness? You say, well, maybe if I know what wrought righteousness means, amen, while studying this out. And this phrase, it means this, that their faith produced holiness. That's what it meant. Would to God that we would be the followers of God that were producing holiness. How does that happen? Not by something that we can conjure up as individuals, no, but by the way that we live. We are living for God. We're trusting Him. We're living a life of faith. And because of that, holiness can be seen in and through our lives. People can see that there's a difference there. You know, when God has worked in mighty ways through His believers in the past, you know, the world saw that. Why do you think revivals happen? Because the people of God turned their hearts to God and this world was getting curious at what was going on. Why? Because of the holiness that this world could see. They knew there was something different in their life. What is holiness? Well, it's being more and more like Christ. It is our faith performing as it should and as God intends it to. It will be producing holiness in our lives. But let's take it a step further. If our faith is producing holiness in our lives, remember the Sunday school lesson that we learned this morning about our integrity and about our character. Our integrity and character is what is on the inside, who we truly are. Our reputation is what we are on the outside. If we are living the life of faith that we are called to be, if we have that holiness inside of our lives because we're living the life of faith, then understand it will not only produce holiness in our lives, but it will produce holiness in the lives of others. Why is it that we say many times, well, don't get caught up with the wrong friends? We say that even to people who are, quote, good people. Why? Because those wrong friends will have an influence on them. Because those wrong friends are going to pull them down. We all know that to be true. We've seen ones and even speaking of myself, I know of different ones that even through teen camps and all of that, I got involved with the wrong friend. It did not make me more like Christ to be involved with that crowd. Guaranteed. No, it pulled me further away from God. Would to God that we would live a life of faith that would teach holiness to other people. And not walking around as holier than thou, walking around as someone that, well, I've got my life together because I'm following the Lord. No. Where people see, wait a second. There's something different there. There's holiness there, but yet there's joy. There's peace. Something different there. When we put our faith to that test, how are we doing in that performance review? I can remember some of the reviews that I would do as a manager, and many of those things, the reviews that we created there on the computer and we would print out, everything was from 1 to 10. When it comes to our faith, 1 being the least, 10 being the best, when it comes to our faith, how would our faith perform on paper if it came to subduing kingdoms? What about producing righteousness and holiness in others? How would we do? Studying through this message, and the Lord was beating me up through this. And here's why. Because if we don't have the faith to subdue kingdoms, and if we don't have the faith to wrought righteousness, it's not God's fault. It's my fault. And it's your fault. God's as powerful as He's ever been. How's our faith doing in this review. Notice something else as well. It was not only a conquering faith. It wasn't only a righteous faith. Notice this, it was a fruitful faith. It was fruitful. Verse 33, it says this, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness. Notice, obtained promises. When we consider the promises that have been obtained from believers living the faith life, that should motivate us to live the faith life. When we read the Bible, we're not reading some fairy tale. We're not reading something that never happened. No, these things are true. When it talks about subduing kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and all of these things, when we read those things, those really did happen. But too often we read it as a fairy tale. This is true. This Bible is true. These stories are true. And they obtained promises. We consider men like Noah, who was commanded by God to build an ark because it was going to rain and flood the earth. And he did that, and the rain did come, and Noah was spared. When we consider Abraham, he was told to go. God didn't tell him where. He said, just go. And he said, just pack up and go. God told him, you're going to have a land, a seed, and a blessing. And we have, as you follow throughout history, you've seen how God has performed these promises, and these things have come true. When we consider the truth that Moses was told to walk to the Red Sea, and God told him exactly what to do. He followed God's will. He followed God's plan, and the water stood up on each side, and the ground was dry all the way through, and every one of these children of Israel made it all the way across, and then God closed the water and killed the Egyptian army. Church, that's not a fairy tale. That happened. They obtained the promises of God. When's the last time that we can say we obtained a promise of God in our life? For many believers, and yes, it's the most important promise, is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But in many believers' lives, that's the only promise they can point to in their life and say, that's a promise I obtained. Shouldn't be that way. God has promised to provide for us. Every one of us have been provided for, haven't we? That's a promise of God. We've obtained promises. But all of these other things as well, when God put these people through some hard times to test them, they obtained God's promise when God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We would be able to point to a lot more promises of God that He's brought us through things if we were living the life of faith that we should be. When we think of these great leaps of faith, we consider things in today's world, and this is just how dumbed down, if you will, that we've made Christianity. But we think of these things that these people went through, and when we look at stopping the mouths of lions, this man Daniel being thrown into the den of lions there, and there were literally lions in there, and God stopped their mouths, and they did not devour him the whole night. And we consider these ones being thrown into the fiery furnace and escaping the edge of the sword and all of that. When we consider those things, many times we look at ourselves, and the things we equate that to is this: well, I'm remaining faithful to God because I go to church every Sunday. It's a good thing to go to church, but that's the least we can do. Well, I give money in the offering plate. That's good. God's commanded us to do that. But what about things that God has told us to do, and yet we refuse to do that because they're uncomfortable? You see, these people that we're talking about here today, they had a fruitful faith because they were willing to have their faith put to the test. Many times we look at things like attending church or reading our Bible for a certain amount of time, or praying, and all of those things, though those are great things to do, and we've been commanded to do those things, just like soul winning, many times we put those things into a category like what these people were going through. And it has no chance of even holding a candle to what their faith was doing because of what God was doing through their life. Church, let's not be content with doing the bare minimum for God. Let's do everything we can for God. Let's remain faithful to Him. Let's ask the Lord to help us to have a fruitful faith. Let's pray, Lord, help me to be able to obtain promises of You. Lord, whatever it is You want me to go through, Lord, I pray that You would keep me safe through those things. I pray that You would teach me to draw closer to You through those things. Lord, if You want me to go here and be a missionary, Lord, I know in my flesh, that's not what I want to do in my flesh. But Lord, if that's what You've called me to do, that's what I'm going to do. If You want me to teach this Sunday school class or run this bus route, or if You want me to visit these people or whatever it may be, Lord, just help me. Just show me these things. And Lord, I pray that You would stay faithful to me as I stay faithful to You. When's the last time we asked the Lord to help us to live a life of faith that was obtaining promises? God is looking for people to live for Him. He's waiting for it. Lord, help us to have a fruitful faith. As we look at this performance review of our faith, I want us to notice the last thing here. Not only a fruitful faith, not only a conquering faith and a righteous faith, but I want us to look at this, a mouth stopping faith. Now, there's a couple of things that we need to learn from this passage. You know what every one of us, including myself, needs to learn many times? To shut my mouth. That's what needs to happen. You know, I am a professional wish list giver when it comes to my prayers. God, I want this. God, I need this. God, do this. You know, sometimes we just need to shut our mouths. Many times God can't get a word in edgewise because we don't give Him a chance. We give Him a wish list and then, in Jesus' name, amen, and we go on our way. When's the last time we obeyed that passage when it says, be still and know that I am God? Just listen. Just listen to what God would have us to do. What I mean by this mouth-stopping faith is this. It says, stop the mouths of lions. Listen, knowledgeable people today, they try to do all they can to deny the truth in Scripture. They try to do all they can to make an excuse on why the Bible isn't true. And they try to say things like this. Well, it was a lion's den, but there was no lions in there. Yes, it was a miracle that they threw him in there and he didn't get hurt or anything like that. And they try to explain away the fact that God kept Daniel safe. There were lions in that den. They were there. There are going to be times in which we are put in situations that we cannot see our way out of, times at which maybe our life is truly in danger. When I think of this passage here, this really happened, and I think of Daniel as he was thrown into that den of lions. Here's a newsflash for us. He didn't have a weapon or anything like that. He could not have defended himself against these lions there. He didn't have some light where he knew exactly where the lions were. So, well, at least I've got this flashlight and I can see where they are. No, it was complete darkness. It was overnight that he was there. And yet he wasn't touched by these lions. You know, those lions knew he was there. They did. You know, they can smell food. Amen. They said, this smells awfully good to us. They could smell that, but what's it say? Notice, stopped the mouths of lions. That's what faith can do. But many times our faith is not even strong enough to stop our mouths. We say things that we shouldn't say. We act in a way we shouldn't act. Our faith should be performing in a way in which it could stop the mouths of lions. Though it's easy in a safe environment to say things like, well, I would remain faithful in those hard times as well. Let me ask us this question this morning. If we would remain faithful in those times, how have we remained faithful in these easy times? Because let's face it, we live in America. It's extremely easy to live for the Lord. We are not in fear of death for our faith. How are we doing in living for God? How are we doing? You know, even a situation of mockers, remember, there will come a day when God will shut their mouths as well. You know, as you go through life, you're going to find people that make fun of you. I've told the story before of a young man who I walked up and was giving him a gospel tract and was talking to him, and he made it known he didn't have time to stand there and talk, but he took the tract, and another young man came out. I don't know if it was a brother or whoever it was, but came out of the house as I'm backing out of the driveway, and I saw the man. I don't have a track here in this pocket, but I'll use this just for example's sake. Say this is the track. And I saw the man. He handed the track to the other man that just came out of the house. They looked back at the car, started laughing, and the man goes like this and flicks it out in the yard. I said, Lord, get a hold of their hearts. Because though they're mocking God now, there's going to come a day where God's going to shut their mouth. Because the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God will not be mocked. But would to God that we would see that all of those things that come against us, those ones that may make fun of us and mock us and all of that, would to God that we would see that God is powerful enough to stop that. Why do we allow that to defeat us? Why do we allow that to cause us to say, well, I was made fun of. I'm not going to go out and do that anymore. Well, those people were mean and all of those things. Me and Brother Delaney were talking yesterday about how those are a few and far between when you would ever find someone that's just rude like that. Most people, even if they're not interested, most people will say, no thanks, I'm not interested. But yet we have a situation like this, or a situation in which someone does get irate with us, and we say, well, I'm just not going to live for God. How are we doing in our performance review? Because I know, speaking for myself, I got some work to do. Speaking of myself, I need to rely on the Lord a lot more. I need the Lord to help me every single day. Church, we must remain faithful. We must be willing to look ourselves in the mirror and admit that when it comes to our faith, more often than not, it looks pretty weak on that performance review. Church, let's be honest with ourselves and honest before the Lord. Let's work on these areas. We have some strengthening to do when it comes to our faith, and I truthfully believe that there are trying days ahead. I truthfully believe that we will go through some persecution if the Lord does not return soon, and if we go through some of that persecution, what we're going to see is that many believers do not remain faithful. Many believers are going to say, well, it's no use in trying to witness. It's just too hard. Why? Because they're not living the life of faith during the easy times. Many take for granted the mercy and the power of Almighty God. And even during the easy times, they don't allow the Word of God to mold them into the image of God. Therefore, they will be standing at the most trying time of their life, and they will be as weak as they've ever been. Let's not wait until the trials come to try to build our faith. Let's ask the Lord today, Lord, build my faith so that I can remain faithful to You in the hard times, but also in the easy times. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, do that today. It's impossible for you to live for the Lord if you do not know the Lord. You may live for or know some religion, but if you do not know the Lord, you're on your way to hell. Trust Christ today. Live a life of faith today. Believers here today, we need a strengthening of our faith. When it comes to our performance review, we need help. And would to God that we would be humble enough to bend a knee and ask the Lord to help us in these areas. There's so much more to be said, and we'll go through it next week as well. But church, let's ask the Lord, starting today, starting now, Lord, would You help me to have a faith that performs the way that it should? Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You.